to In the Blue Corner. We're here where everything boxing, anything you want to know, you have to tune in to our podcast, InTheBlueCorner.podcast. I'm here with my co-host, Paolo Malignaggi, two-time champion, two-division champion, and also boxing analyst extraordinaire. I'm your host, Jaime Mota, and today we have a great guest. Seven-time national champion, amateur national champion, 2019 Prospect of the Year, Ring Magazine Prospect of the Year, and right now the number one contender in the welterweight division, both for the WBC and the WBO, Virgil Ortiz. Virgil, great to have you here with us. How are you?
Thanks for having me. I'm doing pretty good. How about you?
Doing well. You know, Paulie's someone that knows the welterweight division very well, and you are up and coming, and you are the one that everybody's talking about. Let's start with Paulie. You know, 147 pounds. I'd say it's probably one of the most difficult divisions in boxing.
I mean, I think even customarily through the generations, it's always a golden weight class. I think, you know what it is? When you come to think about it, the original eight weight classes are always talked about more, right? And
right.
Even with the in-between weight classes now, the champions of the original eight, I don't know why. The middleweight division seems to have a lot of exciting generations. The welterweight division seems to have a lot of exciting generations. Lightweight, you know, and of course heavyweight, you think of that too, for the most part. So, you know, with Virgil coming up the ladder, I mean, I right now I can already see the brewing, because it's like there's always somebody coming up right behind like a freight train that, gaining on the superstars of the generation. The welterweight division seems to have a lot of superstars. I think right now, you know, Virgil, between me, my opinion, I'd say you and Jerron Ennis are the guys at welterweight that are just the must-see, and the guys who are, like I said, gaining on these stars of today and looking to possibly build up into a later-on rivalry. Because I'm already looking at what's the future rivalry that people are going to demand to be made, and it's going to be so hard to make. And I feel like it's Virgil and Jerron Ennis are starting to create that little mold for themselves that they're going to start to dominate so much. I mean, you've already got some ex-world champions on your resume, right? You beat Maurice Hooker.
Yeah, Maurice Hooker, Salgado, back in my 11th fight or something.
Yeah,
like that.
So your resume's building, and it's the thing about when it's prospects moving into contender status, it's the way you're looking. It's not just winning. A lot of prospects win. It's the way you're looking. And
well,
I think the excitement factor.
What better way of, you know, 18-0 with 18 KOs, you know?
Yeah.
None of your fights have gone past the seventh round. So, you know, what has been that you've been working on with Robert Garcia in training camps? You know, what is it that you know that you've been improving, you know, each time you step into the ring?
Well, you know, when I first started my career, I was I fell in love with my power. I'm not gonna lie, that's the first thing. I was getting first round knockouts like right off the bat, you know, and so I got to my fifth fight, then, you know, I went to the third round, and I really noticed that, okay, you know, not everyone's gonna get knocked out in the first round. It doesn't matter how strong you are, there's someone out there that's gonna be able to take your punch, you know,
right?
And I just started being smarter about my punch selection, not just throwing punches just to throw punches, you know. And when I got to Robert, you know, he really upped that part of my game. You know, I really started being
cerebral.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, mm-hmm. I had to be very intelligent with my punch selections and all that stuff. And I feel like that's one of the things that I've excelled at with Robert Garcia.
Yeah, and it's made you very exciting. But talk to us about the early part. Before you got to Robert Garcia's, before you started making the name for yourself, how did you get started into boxing? What attracted you to the gym? How old were you? And obviously nobody goes into the gym to become an opponent. Everybody goes into the gym to be, you know, with these big dreams.
Yeah.
So how did it start for you?
So basically, I was in kindergarten, actually. I was 5 years old, and my dad took me to the gym one day. And, you know, I see everyone hitting the bags and stuff, and you know, this isn't the answer you want to hear. I'm like, man, this is boring. I don't want to do this, you know. So we went back the next day, and they were sparring. You know, now that's the fun part.
Everyone, well, you didn't want on a sparring day the next
exactly,
day.
Exactly, yeah. And, you know, that's the reason why people join. You know, they wanna fight. They wanna win. They want to be able to, you know, some people want to have confidence in themselves and, you know that they got their own backs. And for me, it was just fun, you know, just the idea of getting in the ring with someone everyone being okay afterwards. You know, that's what I think. And in my opinion, that's still probably the best part of boxing for me. You can slug it out with someone inside the ring, and after the fight, you know, you build a bond. You build a bond with someone. You know,
a lot of times it lasts your whole life.
Exactly. You know, that's just something that you can't share with someone. And no matter what you do, you got to fight them sometimes. You know, you
reach levels between the two of you that
you understand each other.
That people don't ever get to. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
And after that, there's typically a respect factor. Exactly. Now, how old are you? 23.
23.
So you were 5 years old. That was, you're born in 98.
Yes.
So 2003, man, that's crazy.
Your math is good.
I was already a pro fighter. This kid was just starting, man. That makes me feel old.
We're not going to talk about me. But Virgil, you know, the fact that you're 18-0, 18 knockouts, you know, a lot of the young guys, the up-and-comers, you know, when you start having that kind of success, it gets to their heads. You know, and they start talking a lot of trash. They start calling people out. You know, they start saying things like that. And that's not you. I haven't heard you be a trash talker and you know, disrespecting people. I mean, you let your work inside the gym and inside the ring talk for you. You tell me what it's been like, you know, this ascension, you know, in the last year or so. And the fact that now you're the number one contender for Errol Spence in the WBC and the number one contender for Terrence Crawford in the WBO.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm not going to climb the rankings by talking shit to people. You know, that's not how you go about it. And to be honest, that's just the way I am. I don't really like putting myself out there like that. I don't like causing drama for no reason. That's just not me. That's just not who I am. And I honestly stay away from people like that as well. I don't like that kind of environment. So that's just not how I am, and I just keep to myself. I do my talking in the ring, like I said, and I let my skills do the talking, basically.
But you've been so impressive thus far. So do you ever just want to make that announcement, like, yo, I've arrived. I'm coming for everybody. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I've arrived. You know, like, though you can't ignore me forever. I've arrived, because, bro, you're actually so dangerous. They're going to have to force the champions to fight you, bro.
I think there's going to be a lot of people that don't want to fight you.
You're not one of these prospects that's good, can work his way into a regular voluntary title shot. Like, you're going to need the politics on your side with a strong team that forces the fight, because a champion is not going to want to fight you because you don't have the superstar name yet, but you're a known dangerous entity mm-hmm. who's expected to be a superstar. No champion is going to want to be the guy who gets you there at their expense.
Exactly. You know? No one wants to be the gatekeeper.
Yeah, exactly. And unfortunately, those guys holding the belts, you know, they know how much those checks are worth when they hold the belts, so they don't want to lose them.
Yeah.
So they'd rather, no matter how tough they talk, you become a businessman when you become a champion sometimes, so they're going to try to avoid you. So do you ever, like, get the urge to announce your arrival? You know what I'm saying? Like, you announce it with your fists, obviously, but you ever let them know, hold those belts easy for me, because they're not gonna last long in your possession, you know? Like,
yeah, I mean, sometimes I do, but you know, as the way I see it, they're making a mistake by not fighting me now, because I'm getting stronger every day, I'm getting smarter every day. We're in the gym.
Yeah, you're not getting older, you're getting more in your prime.
I'm getting better.
Yeah, 23 right. years old, you're reaching.
I'm only getting better.
Yeah,
so
you're not at the age where you're gonna pass your prime. You're at the age where you're actually still entering your prime, so
exactly.
Yeah, the danger, man.
So they should
that's
get
why
you,
and that's why
they should get you now. Because if they ever have a chance, you know, of maybe, getting past that hurdle, it would be now instead of later when, as a matter of fact, like you mentioned, you're getting better.
They're going to be four soon, right? I mean, BC's number one. I mean,
number one.
You can
and
start,
WBO number one as well.
Yeah. So, the BC can always franchise somebody and prevent you from getting the real title. But
yeah.
the BO is there, you know.
Number two in WBA as well.
Number two in WBA. And Spence is not going to be back for a while. So they're going to have to create a situation where Virgil gets his shot, and then when the champion comes back, Errol, he has to fight him, otherwise he's stripped. I mean, sort of like they've done in the past. I don't know, man. I'm trying to navigate the politics for you.
We're trying to get the
politics for you, because everybody wants to see you in a title shot. Listen, the champions are excellent. Champions are very good. Actually, Crawford is discussed as the possible number one pound for pound. So the champions are the champions for a reason, but there's also a reason why everybody is waiting for your arrival. And like I said, the other prospect, Jerron Ennis, for me, it's like there's an East Coast, West Coast storm brewing. And I think you guys could be like the next generation rivals a la Mayweather-Pacquiao, where people demand this fight. You know, people demand this fight. But obviously, you guys got to overcome those champions who probably aren't going to be so willing to give you the title shot as easily as you might want it to come.
Exactly. You know, and I feel like this new generation of boxers coming up, you know, we want to – the past generation, you know, they waited till they're like 27, 28. Mm-hmm. You know, I want to do it now.
Yeah, and I feel like – I don't know. You tell me because you're younger than me, but – I feel like in my generation, they were turning pro a little bit later. Is it because they stopped using headgears at the elite level of amateurs, so guys are like, screw it, I'm just going to turn pro?
You know, that's a good factor that probably could go into play. You know, maybe they feel like, I can do the whole pro thing, you know? You know, and it could be the whole COVID thing, too. You know, the Olympics got pushed back. You know, people are like, fuck it, I'm just going to turn pro. So you never know. It could be a lot of factors that they go into play.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to keep talking with Virgil Ortiz here in the blue corner. So don't go away. We'll be right back.
In the Blue Corner is sponsored by RhinoFit. Built for the fitness industry, RhinoFit is a powerful member management software designed for martial arts studios, gyms, and trainers. RhinoFit packs a punch with all the features that you need to manage your dojo smoothly and efficiently so that you can save time and money at your business. Easily manage your members' payments, track your members' belt rankings and workouts, and monitor the finances of your dojo all from one easy-to-use platform. Feel the power of the Rhino at your fingertips. The RhinoFit platform is available on all of your internet-based devices, including desktop, tablet, and mobile. Set up your free trial account today by going to rhinofit.ca.
We're back here in the blue corner with Virgil Ortiz, Paulo Malignaggi, Jaime Mota here with you. Remember, if you guys have any boxing video that you want, any type of stuff that you want to see, send it to us at inthebluecorner.podcast and we'll put it on out there for you. Virgil, we're talking about, you know, this new generation of boxers, you know, the ones that are going to take this to the next level. You're one of them. Have you been able to sit down and just take it all in and realize, my God, you know, this thing is happening, you know, quicker than I expected, you know, and people are talking about you as the guy, you know, in just about any division, you know, when they mention about new talent, up and coming boxers, one of the two, three names that always comes up is Virgil Ortiz.
Well, you see, the way that I see it as, I don't see it as like outside, you know, from what I think people see, you know, they see like an upcoming fighter and that he's doing really good. For me, I haven't made it yet. So I'm not really satisfied about anything at all, really. Yeah, you know, I have a perfect record or whatever, but that's really not enough for me. I haven't done anything in this sport. What if I was to retire tomorrow? I haven't done anything. So I have nothing to be proud of, really. You know, I feel like I've been doing everything right, but there's so much left to be done.
And the enthusiasm and hunger, that's the way you just described it. That's what separates an elite level prospect. You know, the way you just described it, you want to be on those highlight reels of your generation when kids later on look at the past greats, and you want them to see Virgil Ortiz on those highlight reels of great past
exactly.
fighters. So you want to be part, you want to partake in the party. You want to be that. You're just starting to get invited into the party, but you want to do your own damage into the party,
exactly.
So that people will remember you, a la Duran, a la guys. I love the way we talk about guys like that. You know, De La Hoya, Trinidad. You know, guys like that. You know,
So.
And I feel like everybody sees you as the guy who's going to become that, but you know, he's not there until it happens.
Exactly.
You know? So you keep that mindset.
Exactly.
Virgil, I'm curious. Was there any fighters you looked up to as a kid, or was there your guys you had that were your favorites, or even that you modeled your style after?
I definitely like Cotto a lot. I love watching Sergio Martinez fight. I love watching you fight. I'm not being biased or anything.
Thank you.
I like Oscar. Obviously, I love watching Oscar De La Hoya fight. You know, he always brought it. Fernando Vargas. I mean, I can honestly keep going on forever. But those are some of the main ones right there.
Yeah, I was kind of the same way. I had a couple of different guys, different styles that I like to see. Try to, like, you know, see a little bit of this guy. Maybe try to see if you could do something from this guy. You know?
Exactly.
But you know, ultimately, you have your own style. Mm-hmm. You can't copy everything off one guy. But it's like maybe you could like something here and like something
make
here.
It your own
I
too.
was like that too as well. So you're a boxing fan. You like to tune into the fights?
Mm-hmm.
And, okay, cool. Because not everybody is sometimes. So I was always a big boxing fan.
Well, I won't stay and watch from beginning to the end. But, you know, if I see a big fight or a pretty good fight or if I see some upcoming prospects coming up, yeah, I'll watch them for sure, you know?
I was, when I was young, you know, we didn't have the DVR. So we had the VCR tape, right? So I used to set the recorder. If I was going out on a Saturday night, me and my best friend used to set the recorder, like to press record, and then at the end of the night, I'd come home and watch the fight.
Yeah.
Well, you mentioned the fact that you won't watch, you know, an entire fight unless it's a good fight. What else do you do? Because we've heard that you play the piano, you play the guitar, and you're self-taught. How did that come about?
So I think it. I didn't even think about it till now, actually. Back in elementary school, I got tested for music, and they told me that I would be really good at music if I were to start now, that I had an ear for it. But, you know, I was in boxing or whatever. But then I started learning the guitar by myself because I played Guitar Hero. Guitar Hero was the hottest game when I was younger.
It's your generation.
You know?
Yeah.
It was hot. And I had already listened to rock and metal and all that stuff because my dad, he listened to everything. And including rock, so that's basically, you know, it snowballed into me learning guitar and then me learning the piano, and I love music, that was
a great talent too, man, because I was something. I mean, I'm terrible at being artistic, you know. I was always a good athlete, but I'm terrible at being artistic, so it's something I can appreciate because like it's so hard for me, you know.
Honestly.
Like, especially to be self-taught, and then you can make beautiful music with those instruments, you know. And for me, I always sucked at them, but like as I get older, you may have an appreciation for somebody who can play the piano. So melodic, is that the word? Melodic?
It could be melodic.
But it's like, you know, it's like you have such an appreciation for it. And then, of course, to be self-taught, it means you have an artistic mind. I don't know if that can translate into your creativity in boxing. I don't know how that
it
would
does
work.
A little
but,
bit.
But it definitely, you've got multifaceted talents. We used to call those gifted when we were kids. We used to separate. When we were in school. We used to separate the gifted kids.
Yeah.
But you, does that relax you? You know, and do you think about boxing sometimes when you're playing the piano or playing the guitar, or is that where you go and that's your me time? You know, separate, completely away from boxing.
I don't think about boxing when I'm doing music, but when I'm in boxing, I think about the music and I think about the rhythm. Like, you know, boxing, every boxer has a rhythm. That's the thing, you know, and you figure out their rhythm, you can kind of almost just beat the fighter if you just figure it out. You know, you can throw some little offbeats in there, you know, kind of disrupt them and all that stuff. Clinches, you know, people know that disrupts their rhythm too. Mm-hmm. You know, if the momentum is on their side, you just stop it.
That's how I have a lot of power. So I used to try to stop the momentum by bumping guys with clinches and starting to slow again, you know?
Yeah. So it has they're both similar. They're both similar.
I remember when I was a teenager, I used to spar Junior Jones. Junior Jones is a bantamweight and a super bantamweight world champion. And he used to tell me, and I thought at the time I couldn't really relate to it, you know, but he used to tell me, sometimes just get a good song in your mind when you're in the ring and just, you know, let it play in your mind, you know, and you know, follow that rhythm, you know, follow that rhythm with your style. And I'd be like, I don't know, I couldn't do it. But he said that was something he used to do.
Well, there's a lot of fighters that like to train to a particular type of music or a particular song for, you know, some exercise. Do you do that?
I listen to everything. No, I kind of don't, because I listen to everything. I listen to rock. I listen to Spanish music. Like, it's a Spanish rock. I listen to pop. I listen to my dad's hip-hop and all that stuff.
We've been listening to
a lot of hip-hop recently.
I'm the same way. I could go 80s. I could go rock. I could go rap. I could go foreign music. I'm the same way.
Yeah,
I feel like that makes you – you can appreciate everything, man. Music is music.
Your horizon has to be broad.
Yeah.
That's big.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and that probably also translates to the way that you can assimilate, you know, different styles and all of the things that, for example, now with Robert Garcia, because I've been to your training camps a couple of times, and I see the way you work, you know, and there's people that tell us all the time, you know, if there's a guy that works extremely hard in the gym, it's Virgil Ortiz. And you're in there 7 days a week sometimes, right? And you just told us, you don't mind, you know, training through the holidays, if it means, you know, you're going to get a fight that you really want.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and like I said, I'm going to take any opportunity that I can right now. You know, it's my career is building up right now. I don't want to have any missed opportunities. When I'm done and retired, I don't want to, I should have did this or anything. Well, I'm going to make sure we tie up all the loose ends and get everything done.
And that's how you know you're passionate and you love what you do, you know, because as it starts to slip away from you, I remember by the midpoint of my career, I didn't want to fight in January because I wanted to have Christmas. I wanted to eat. You know?
Tamales,
so, yeah, man, you know, I'm Italian, so we had a lot of food too. So I was like, man, if I would get a January fight, I remember one year, my first world title defense, when I just won my world title, was January 5th. I was miserable. Miserable I had to defend the title January 5th because I missed everything.
Yeah.
No New Year's
that's
parties.
That's how you know, and no Christmas food. And that's how you know you still got that fire in you, man, that love in you. You know, like you anytime, any place, doesn't matter the date or doesn't matter the place, just give you the gloves and you'll come and show up and fight. So that's you got to keep that fire burning as long as possible because that's what, especially with the competition, is when the competition is fierce at a world-class level. If you keep that mentality, again, it's part of the reason why you're here. It's part of the reason why you're in the position you're in, and you're and why we expect you to have the success that you will have.
Is there, you know, has there been any time when Robert has said, you know what, maybe we need to like tone it down a little? You're overworking.
He tells me that all the time.
See, that's
he tells me that all the time. But you know, we kind of know like my body. We know like okay, we gotta stop. But really, I kind of don't have that limit. I can keep going if I want to, and honestly, like, if we reach that limit, then now we got to break it. That's how I see it, you know? I don't just stop, okay, no, it's enough. I can't go on. You know, that's a quitter.
But don't you think that, you know, there is such a thing as overtraining?
No.
No overtraining.
To an extent, you can't
go.
You
know so young, too. Man.
You can't
that's
buy
true, too. That's you know, true, too. You know, 23 was so long ago for me.
I didn't realize overtraining until I got a little older, man. I was like, because at 23, you really do have a lot of energy. It's great. As long as you're getting sleep. As long as you're sleeping, you know, I feel like as long as you're sleeping, your body just constantly recovers and constantly go. I remember Ricky Hatton used to call it crossing the pain barrier, where you just reach a certain level and then you get by it and then your body can take more and your body can do more. You cross the pain barrier. And I really believe in it, especially if your body is young enough to keep crossing it. You know, at a certain age, you know, you got to, it's like Floyd used to say, you got to train harder, not smart. I mean, you got to train smarter, not harder. I think at this age, it's beautiful, man. It's beautiful because you have a passion and your body can really be pushed.
Well, we're going to come back and talk with Virgil Ortiz about what the future holds for the 18-0 welterweight number one contender. So stick around. We'll be back here in the Blue Corner.
In the Blue Corner is sponsored by RhinoFit. Built for the fitness industry, RhinoFit is a powerful member management software designed for martial arts studios, gyms, and trainers. RhinoFit packs a punch with all the features that you need to manage your dojo smoothly and efficiently so that you can save time and money at your business. Easily manage your members' payments, track your members' belt rankings and workouts, and monitor the finances of your dojo all from one easy-to-use platform. Feel the power of the Rhino at your fingertips. The RhinoFit platform is available on all of your internet-based devices, including desktop, tablet, and mobile. Set up your free trial account today by going to rhinofit.ca.
We're back here in the Blue Corner with a welterweight prospect. And I wouldn't even call him a prospect. He's the number one contender.
He's the number one contender.
In the WBC and WBO. That's not a contender anymore. Virgil Ortiz, Paulo Malignaggi, Jaime Mota here with you. If you've missed any part of this podcast, remember you can go to inthebluecorner.podcast and listen not only to this one with Virgil Ortiz, but all the ones that we have already on the platform. So, Virgil, you know, 18-0, things are only going to get bigger and better for you. What's coming up for you in the near future? What do you see?
In the near future, we have a general idea of when I'm going to fight, maybe who I'm going to fight. But, you know, we don't know yet. Nothing's set in stone. So I really can't give away anything because there's really nothing to give yet.
So who would you like to fight? Let's put it that way. If it was up to you and, you know, if your team came to you and said, all right, you've got a choice, who do you want to go after next?
I mean, honestly, I've been saying, these basically a top five guy, you know. Definitely some of the world champions that we have three in this weight division.
I think really, man, based on where you are in your career, anybody watching you expects a breakout 2022.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel you started breaking out with the Hooker win, honestly. But I would think 2022 would mean that even the casual boxing fans have learned about you, and you've arrived on the scene to stay, you know? Mm-hmm. And I would think anybody moving you would have that intention. The thing about the welterweight division is there's only two guys with world titles because they're unified with Spence right now, right? So
yeah.
You've got
Ugas at the WBA, where right now you're number two.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the possibilities are endless.
Yeah.
So it could go just about any which way, and I think it makes it easier, or you tell me, the fact that you're number one and number two and three out of the four, organizations, and then the other one, you're number four. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, honestly, it's maybe one more fight and maybe a world title?
I mean, honestly, that's what I hope so. And I hope to get, I don't like to take, I'll almost say easy fights, because no fight is easy. No fight is easy at all. But I want fights that are going to help me. I want some tough fights. I want some tough opposition, that's all I'm here for. I'm happy that I'm in probably the toughest weight division in boxing, because if I won a world title in some, I don't know, schmuck weight division, I'm not going to feel like I did anything, you know?
Okay, so let's talk about how you match up with the champions. Okay, we got, for me, Spence is a good boxer. He's an Olympian, but it's firepower against firepower with you. Crawford and Ugas, very crafty. How do you think you match up? Let's start with Ugas. How do you see that up and match playing out with Ugas?
Okay, Ugas is is he the biggest one? Do you think so?
He may be physically, but
he does come from the super lightweight division. He's a big guy, but he did come up from super lightweight.
I feel like it'd be a really good fight, a very entertaining fight. I think all of the fights are entertaining. I feel like Ugas would be the guy most willing to let's fight. Mm-hmm. I feel like he would be the one most willing to do it, so I think that one would be probably the most fan-friendly fight. Crawford would kind of be chess match, but kind of try to impose our willpower onto mm-hmm. each other in mm-hmm. a way as well.
Battle of the minds.
Still a good fight. Me and Spence came from the same amateur boxing gym. Our styles are...
Oh, that's right, because you're from Texas.
Yes.
Oh, originally
man,
from Texas.
I had no
that's
idea,
right.
bro. We just got that, to this now.
That's right. That's right. You're from Texas.
Yeah.
I didn't...
Wow.
Yeah, so I've seen a lot of comments saying that, Verge was just a righty of Spence. Well, there's a reason for that. We came out of the same gym.
Man.
We had the same trainer for a minute, and...
It's honestly, wild, bro. That's like a plot twist I didn't even know about, man.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
We kind of mirror images of each other in a way, so I feel like that's... And honestly, for me, I've said it before, that's kind of the fight
that's a bragging rights fight,
I hope happens,
That's the one you want?
Not necessarily next, but I feel like if I could only make one fight happen, it would be that one because, I don't want to say we have history because, when I never got to spar him, he was obviously way older than me, but, I used to train with him, so it would, the circle of life, everything comes back.
I remember being in the gym with Zab Judah, and he was, ahead of me and, kind of looking up at him, and then in the end, we ended up fighting. But, it's the same same thing. I had no idea. This is such a crazy plot twist.
Is there anything from those days in that gym that you were able to pick up from Spence that you think that you could use now if you ever did fight him?
I don't want to say it. If
I'm yeah, I'll tell you.
I'm not going to give away all
you
the secrets.
Up. You do. I'm telling you, I'm not going to make him say it either, man. With Zab, I saw one thing. I always noticed he couldn't back up. He couldn't fight backing up. I always noticed it, and I was like, if I ever get him, I know I got to back him up. Which, of course, without firepower is not easy. But that was the way I fought him to back him up and to negate him. So I'm sure he sees when you're looking, especially when it's like somebody you look up to, which Spence was older than him. So I'm sure he's somebody you were looking up to at the time.
Yeah.
And you start to first you go through the phase where you're looking up to them, and then you're like, yo, man, I might get this guy. I've been watching for so long. What have I picked up through the years?
Yeah.
So it's interesting. The only thing is, man, with that's a retina injury. It's a tough one to come back from, man. He might be gone for a while. That retina thing is a long, which kind of ties up the belt, too. They're going to have to figure something out with that, too, because retina injuries are at least a one-year injury. I'm telling you, it's a rough one, man.
I've seen guys retire
from that.
Let's say WBC, for example. You've got your number one, Mikey Garcia, who's a stablemate of yours, in the gym with Robert Garcia as number two.
But is he going to stay number two? Because Mikey just got beat.
Exactly. Well, and he said he's going back down to 140.
Okay.
And then you've got Keith Thurman and Danny Garcia. I mean, those are some interesting fights. And then you've got Jerron Ennis, obviously. But I think that fight,
later.
Later. Yeah. That's
because both guys have a chance to really be established. I think Virgil and Geron have a really chance to establish themselves as the marquee guys at the weight class as the older guys get bumped out bit by bit. Especially as you come into your prime, man. Your prime's going to be 26, 27 years old.
Oh, yeah.
These current guys being 3-4 years older, they're already going to be 1 foot out the door.
You're still, like you said, you know, if these guys want to fight you, I think it might be, you know, now is the time as opposed to waiting a year or two.
Calculated risk, right? How calculated do you take
absolutely,
it?
You know? Absolutely. Yeah. Just because later on, you know, if you get better, then these guys are going to have a much harder time.
I am going to get better. That's the thing. You know, we're constantly working on stuff. You know, if we see a chink in the armor, we make sure we patch it up. And we're getting better every day, you know.
What's the one thing that you've been working on? What do you need to get better at? What's the one thing that, you know, as a young fighter, you need to improve?
I mean, okay, so look, I feel like my defense, as it is a little underrated. You know, you don't see my head get popped back, you know, as much. I do kind of like cuff it and some of the punches get smudged off, but a lot of the times my glove rubs on my face and the people are like, oh, he got beat up, all his face is all bruised. I'm like, come on,
man,
dude.
You don't get in the shower without getting wet though, bro. You know, that's what I tell people. You can't play in the mud without getting dirty, man. So, I mean, these are all things that apply in fighting.
I'm going to show people that I can make people miss when I want to, and you know, if I
and
feel like
and transition it to offense,
exactly.
About mixing it, the train, because for me, a fighter is like water, right? They are, not to take the Bruce Lee quote, but you really have to be able to transition from offense to defense and defense to offense smoothly. Some guys don't have that transition as smoothly. Mm-hmm. Once you can transition back and forth smoothly, you're really a complete fighter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
And that's the thing you think that you've been able to get better at with Robert Garcia.
We're getting better. Yep.
And the transition as well.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes
because everybody falls in love. You know, you said you fall in love with your power. Everybody fall in love with you because of your power, right? So it's easy to forget about those other subliminal but important things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, when I do mitts with my dad, you know, he there's this thing where, like, let's say if I get caught in a weird position, like in a southpaw kind of way, I kind of just like gallop this way and then I kind of just like turn righty without even realizing it. Mm-hmm. And so he's kind of teaching me how to like. Kind of like water in a way.
Yeah,
you
navigate.
Know?
Yeah, exactly. Navigate situations. Yeah, of course.
Yeah, so just really
going back to Bruce Lee.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
combat is combat, man.
Absolutely. Well, Virgil, it's been a pleasure having you here with us. We're definitely going to keep an eye out on what's coming up here for you. 18-0, 18 knockouts, number one contender both in WBC, WBO, and not much further behind in the rest of the organization. So, all the champs out there. He's coming after you. So for Virgil Ortiz, Paulo Malignaggi, I'm Jaime Mota. Thank you guys for being here with us in the Blue Corner.